Asr with Maghrib prayer? No. No, you may not. The prayers which are allowed to be joined or combined, provided that the person meets the conditions and the requirements, are the two salawats of Dhuhr. Dhuhr and Asr, excuse me, and Maghrib and Isha. So Dhuhr and Asr may be combined, and then Maghrib and Isha may be combined. One may not combine Fajr with Dhuhr, may not combine Asr with Maghrib, may not combine Isha with Fajr. All of these are not allowed. Only Dhuhr with Asr and Maghrib with Isha, provided that you meet the conditions to join Salah. Why will you pray them together anyways? Unless you have a very valid reason to do so, like travel associated with hardship and difficulty. Let me move this to the right and move this to the left. And salam alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Does it matter if you close your eyes in the prayer, especially at sujood? Because at sujood my hijab sort of covers my side from both sides, and I tend to close my eyes at sujood. Now it's almost automatic. One should avoid closing the eyes, because we don't know of this being the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the narrations do suggest that one's eyes should be open in prayer, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, commanded that one should kill a snake in case a snake was to attack a person in salah. And if one was to have his eyes closed, then that would not be possible. Furthermore, we were taught that the Prophet ﷺ used to look at the place of sujood. And if one's eyes were closed, then looking at the place of sujood will not be possible. So the general ruling is that one does not close one's eyes in salah. Now what the scholars have exempted from that is when one is praying in an area that is full of decorations which may distract the person, like the carpet has a lot of designs or some other reason which may distract the person, in which case they may close their eyes due to necessity and not as a general way of doing salah. And so then one may close their eyes because of that condition. If that is not the case, then one should keep one's eyes open. As for sujood, then it's the same thing. But if you're covered on both sides, so I guess it makes no difference. I mean, you won't be able to see anything anyways. But you shouldn't make closing the eyes a point. Naam. And you put barakallahu fiki. Barakallahu fiki is used to address women, meaning it's for feminine. So fika is for a male, and fiki is for the female. So if one wishes to say to a male, barakallahu fika, or barakallahu fik, is enough, because you usually don't pronounce the vowel at the last letter. Barakallahu fiki is for the ladies. And I happen to be, alhamdulillah, a bearded man. I know you don't mean it, don't worry. Can we pray witr with two tashahuds? Can you pray witr with two tashahuds? What do you mean by that? Also, have you stopped to take any questions on your email? Yes, I have. Yes, I have stopped. I don't know what you mean by praying witr with two tashahuds. Yes, of course. If I understand you correctly. Next. Alhamdulillah. And I apologize for not being able to entertain the questions through email. I've explained that it's become overburdening. It's too much for one person to handle. I'm I'm by myself here. I don't have a team per se that is working on, you know, answering people's questions. So this is too much for one person to deal with. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Often my mother asks for my assistance in disciplining my siblings because I am older. I feel like I'm committing zulm. Do I have the right to discipline them? Yes. But what do you mean by discipline them? As in beat them, strike them, or what? The term discipline has a variety of meanings and implications. So it really depends on what you're doing as means of disciplining them. Then I guess we can say whether it is okay or not. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Can you please clarify whether it is mortgage permissible in house only for one property? I don't know. I do not know. Sorry. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. I know this is an overdue issue of ikhtilaf, but could you address the issue of whether the hands are upon the chest or on the sides during the standing after ruku and your understanding? Now, that is an issue concerning which the scholars have differed extensively. And the reason why, barakallahu fiq, is because there isn't a particular narration which kind of is decisive in the matter. Meaning it's a matter of ijtihad. The ulama looked at general texts and they tried to apply the specific situation according to these general texts. The texts speak of one placing one's hand on one's chest. I hear my echo. Someone has the mic open. That was nice. I guess I get to hear my own lecture for the first time. There you go. Okay. I still hear my echo. Yes, I will. It'll be my pleasure to. There you go, Abu Musab. Done. Okay. Now they looked at the general text. The general text is that you put your right hand over or on your left hand on your chest while standing. Now the question remains, is that standing after getting up from rukur, is it equal, is it equivalent, does it fall under the standing which is before rukur? If you look at it as both qiyams are equal, then just like you place your hands on your chest before rukur, you should also place them on your chest after rukur. However, if you look at the standing after ruku' as being different than the standing before ruku', then you need an evidence which says that after ruku' you again have to put them on your chest. And I personally, since you asked me my understanding, I lean towards that other position, which is that standing after ruku' is not the same as the standing before ruku'. Because the standing before ruku' is the one where recitation is being made. It is the one where we know the Prophet ﷺ put his hands on his chest. However, the standing after ruku' is a separate kind of standing, wherein you don't have the same ruling. Subsequently, we do need an evidence which says that you again place your hands on your chest. So I personally keep them on the tights after getting up from ruku' based on that understanding of the text. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum. alaykum salam. Some scholars allow uncovering feet for women in salah. Is it allowed? No, it is not. Women should cover their feet in salah and outside salah while in the presence of strange men. The feet are part of the awrah. The feet of the woman are part of her awrah, part of the things which she should cover. And so she must cover them up in salah and outside salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are there any special ibadah to do in the month of Rajab? Like fasting some special days or standing up for prayers on special nights and special days to say? Not that I can think of now. Rajab? No, there is no Sahih Hadith. All the narrations concerning it are either weak or fabricated. Nothing special should be done in the month of Rajab. Nothing special should be done in the month of Rajab. If we offer 3 rak'at witr, can we offer with 2 tashahhud as in sitting 2 times? Please tell the correct way of offering the 3 rak'at witr. The 3 rak'at witr should not resemble Maghrib. They should not resemble Maghrib. So either you pray them all together with 1 tashahhud, or you pray 2 rak'at, then you do tasleem, then you pray a single rak'ah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Brother, I want you to clarify to me, should I follow Eid on the same day as Saudi, even though I'm based in the UK, or the day after? There are differences among the Muslims here. Some say it should be the same day as Saudi, some say it should be on the day where you are based. Thank you, brother. Akhi Habibi, Barakallah feek. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. Fast based on viewing it, seeing it, sighting it, and break your fast based on sighting it. You have nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. Nothing. Except when you come for Umrah or Hajj, or if you wind up doing Hijrah over here. Until then, you go according to your local moon sighting. Okay? Because the places on earth are not all the same. There are different time zones, different elements which affect the whole thing. Your job is to follow the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ, who said, based on seeing it. When you guys see the crescent, it's Eid. If you don't see it, keep fasting. Even if in Saudi they celebrated Eid 3 days before you, that does not change anything. is the birthplace of Hadrat Isa alayhi salatu salam? Allahu a'lam about, you know, the exact, it is said that it is in Beit Lahem, in Jerusalem, but, you know, I can't verify any of that. And this is, yani, anyways. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Does the ma'moom have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha during Jama'ah Salah? Yes. Yes, the ma'moom has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha at all times with no exception to the rule. I have problem on my iman. There are certain times I'm becoming an ignorant and there are certain times I become a Muslim. So how can I overcome the situation? Well, that's life. We all go through these ups and downs. Ups and downs. So you just have to be firm. I mean, don't let the shaitan play games with you and send you back and forth. And you can listen to my lecture, Running on Empty. You can listen to my lecture, Running on Empty, so you can have a better understanding on how to increase your iman inshaAllah ta'ala. Na'am. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. When a person does something bad but then repents and asks Allah al-Mawla to protect him from the repercussions of his actions, will Allah protect him? InshaAllah, yes. And if a person has a bad reputation amongst people, but then he repents to Allah and begins to change, will Allah erase the bad perception people have of him from their minds? Is there a specific dua for this? This may happen, it may not. Allahu A'lam, it depends on the person. But one should assume the best about Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am whatever my slave assumes about me. So you assume good about Allah, and you'll be in good, in a good condition inshaAllah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it permissible to take the hijab off when performing wudu in the state of ihram? Is it permissible to take the hijab off when performing wudu in the state of ihram? Of course, how are you going to make wudu then? Wearing hijab is not part of the ihram. Do you mean in front of strange men? If you mean in front of strange men, that's a whole other situation. I mean, otherwise, you know, ihram, you know, you may, certain, you have to make wudu. You have to wash your body parts. That is necessary. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How do you deal with differences we have with other Muslims? Like, can we act normal and include them in the fold of our brotherhood even if they're involved in deviant acts? Well, that depends on the deviant act, it depends on the person, it depends on your intention. If you refer to my recent lectures, I think I've addressed all of these issues. Namely, the lecture, the saved in aid of check, the lecture, the seller of musk, the lecture, The Revival of the Ummah, and other lectures, the recent lectures address this issue more or less. Inshallah, if you get the chance to listen to them, I think you will deduce the correct approach concerning that, inshallah. What is the ruling of shares and stocks? It depends. I'm not well versed in the issues of business, so I have no clue. Assalamu alaikum, akhi, alaikum salam. I wanted to ask you, akhi, why are you so strict on the issue of photo taking? Especially in your last lecture, however, there's difference. As other students of knowledge, like, please don't take this name, okay? Allowed it for halal purposes. Taib, akhi, it's not about being strict. And it is not correct to say that I am being strict. It is incorrect to say that I am being strict. Being strict is when you take on a position which is not supported by evidences. You become extreme by developing your own extreme views which are not based on textual evidences. That is being strict. My position about taking pictures is clearly and explicitly based on textual evidences. And the evidences say that the most severely punished people on the Day of Judgment are those who make images, those who take pictures. So how could I be strict by applying the advice and the warning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'm not being strict at all. I'm following what I believe is correct. Now if other students of knowledge, other shuyukh, other du'at, they feel otherwise, alhamdulillah. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It doesn't mean that they're deviant. It just means that they understand the text a certain way, and I understand it a certain way, or I follow scholars who understand the text a certain way, and they follow other scholars who understand the text another way. And Allah knows what each one intends at the end of the day, and it's between the person and Allah. But I would not say that what I'm doing is strict, nor would I say that they're being lenient. Pay attention. I wouldn't say that these other people are being lenient either, because perhaps to them, this is the sound understanding. But it's just a matter of, and just you say halal purposes, what is halal purpose? What purpose could there be in a picture? Right now, because there's a video, there's actually a halal purpose. Because many people are visual people. They like to see along with hear. So they prefer that they see the speaker. So there's a benefit in the video. But if you took a picture of me and I looked ugly, what benefit is that for da'wah? Or if you took a picture of me, excuse me, and I look cute, and what benefit is there for da'wah? What? Either sisters are gonna, it makes no sense, there's nothing. Whether you look scary or you look good, there's absolutely no benefit behind taking these pictures. If you're inviting me as a speaker, people will only show up if you have a big picture of me on a sign. They say, oh wow, what a guy. Okay guys, we're coming to the lecture. If that is the case, then I don't want them to come. If they're coming for my looks, or for his looks, or their looks, then they're coming with the wrong intention. So what halal purpose, what benefit is there behind taking a picture? Honestly, nothing. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing behind it. Video, we can debate. But pictures, I don't know, chief. And life has went on just fine and smoothly without people taking my picture. Right there you go to Chat Islam and you see the list of speakers and you will scroll down to my name and it will just have, I don't know, like Bismillah or something. What harm did that do? Nothing. It's the same thing, you guys are still here. It didn't prevent you from coming to the dars because there's no picture of me. So I think it's just, I think it's absolutely pointless to have pictures, and it doesn't serve any da'wah purpose. That's my own observation. And I do not mean by that any person with any other view is doing anything wrong. This is their view, and these are my views, and alhamdulillah, it's a matter where there's kind of room and flexibility. So each one of us, inshallah, will be rewarded according to his niyyah. If I'm wrong, I ask Allah to reward me for my niyyah. And if he's wrong, I ask Allah to reward him for his niyyah. But yani, you see what I'm saying. Now. Why do you say niqab is not obligatory? Ouch. You guys are attacking me today. What happened? I'm supposed to be your friend. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters in faith. All these attacks. In your lecture on hijab, you told the sister that her actions would depend on whether she believed niqab is obligatory or not. Can make up your own minds on this? Why? Okay. What I was saying was, look, the issue of niqab is an issue where the scholars have differed. I follow the position that wearing niqab is not obligatory but recommended. I'm just joking, sister. Don't think I'm... You can tell by the way I'm speaking that I'm joking. I know you're not attacking. You have the right to ask these questions. I just used it as an opportunity to kind of break the ice. I don't know if there's any ice left. I think it's just boiling water. But anyways, what I'm saying was, I don't believe it's obligatory. Okay? Because the evidences for me do not support it. Right? However, I cannot tell other sisters that you don't wear the niqab if they believe it's obligatory. So it's recommended as far as I understood the textual evidences. So the issue is, what I was saying to the sister, it depends on your intention. If you truly believe between you and Allah that wearing the niqab is an obligation, you can no longer take it off. Because now you've abandoned an obligatory act in Islam. But if you believe in your heart that it is simply recommended, it is not obligatory, it is only a recommendation, then it becomes up to you. If you wear it, you will get the extra reward. If you take it off, then you're not sinful because you never thought it was obligatory to begin with. So it's making up your own mind, yes, based on looking into the discussion of the scholars. As in, you read the opinions of those who said it's obligatory, then you read the opinions of those who said it is not obligatory, and then you choose the position, not that suits you, not the one which is in agreement with your desires, but the one which you believe is closest, is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and closest to the correct position. So that's what it is. Yeah, it's one of the toughest issues, honestly, because both positions or both scholars or both set of scholars have very strong evidences. But the ones that speak of it not being obligatory, it's quite powerful. Wallahu a'lam. We have to finish today around 5:15 because I have some guests coming over. So we have 15 minutes, Yaskandar. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it permissible to eat, drink at a non-Muslim's house? Yes, it is, provided that you're not eating meat if they are not Jews or Christians. And then again, we go to the issue of whether you can eat the meat of a Jew and a Christian without verifying how it was slaughtered. But generally speaking, yes, you may, as long as the food itself is not something which Islam has made forbidden. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh, alaikum salam. I need some understanding of the verse of Surah Al-An'am, ayah 136. Allah Ta'ala says, and the polytheist is assigned to Allah from that which He created of crops and livestock a share and say, this is for Allah by their claim, and this is for our partners associated with Him. But what is for their partners does not reach Allah, while what is for Allah, this reaches their partners. Evil is what they rule. Jazakallahu feekum. That's the nice one. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. Okay. Now here, first and foremost, I do have to refer you back to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, which is available in English online. Which is available in English online. I believe it's Tafsir, or it's called IbnKathir.com, or even Tafsir.com, T-A-F-S-I-R.com. And there, I suggest that you actually go there and read the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir himself and just forget about mine. Just to be, you know, so you can get it in the most accurate form, barakallahu feekum. Now that's a new one, QuranTafsir.com. Let's see what it says. Oh, nice, mashallah. I didn't know this website existed. Hey, let me add this to my favorites. MashaAllah, add bookmark research. Nope. Okay. Shukran jazilan, monitor. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How far is it true to believe in the existence of witchcraft? And how can one protect one's individual self from such an evil? Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, excuse my ignorance, but I've always heard the term witchcraft, and I really wish to know what exactly do you mean by that. If you mean magic, then yeah, we believe in magic for sure. And it does harm people by the will and leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is something which we do not deny. But witchcraft, unless you mean something else, it's more than magic, okay, but there couldn't be anything more than magic. What do you mean? Yeah, then yeah, we believe in that, and you protect yourself by remembering Allah often, by maintaining the adhkar, by reciting ayat al-kursi after the salah, by being pious and righteous and God conscious. All of these are means, inshallah, of protection from shaitan and from magic and that evil. Are we allowed to talk to people while they are praying to correct them by telling them their feet is showing or their back is not straight in ruku', etc.? Or is this much of a distraction? No, if their back is showing, then their salah is invalid, or their feet is showing, then you have to point that out in salah. You may point that out in salah, no problem. But don't have don't give them a lecture while they're doing salah. Don't say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad. Amma ba'd. It appears to me that your feet are showing. Subsequently, this may affect the validity of your salah. I hereby advise you to stop doing this. Don't do that. Just make a quick comment and move on with your way. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salam. Will Imam Mahdi come back to life? Barakallahu fiik. Come back to life? Who said that he was ever alive and he died for him to come back to life? Maybe you want to rephrase your question. Will Imam Mahdi come? Yes, he will come eventually. He will come eventually, but he's not, he was not alive and he died for him to come back. Oh, huge difference between Isa and the Mahdi. I heard once that a Masjid al-Haram is the entire size of the entire city of Mecca during Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time. Are there any fiqh changes because of this? Maybe extra reward for praying in the Haram only include the original Haram? Yes, there's a huge difference of opinion among the scholars on what is the actual distance which is considered to be the sacred part of the Haram wherein the Salah is multiplied. Allahu A'lam. This is you need to read the statements of the scholars and see what is correct. But some of them restricted to the immediate vicinity of the Haram, while others say that it includes you know, the area beyond that, and so that the multiplication of the reward of prayer is not restricted to the haram itself. But again, the scholars have differed on this issue, and I'm not in a position to give you a preponderant, Assalamu alaikum alaikum salam. Is smiling permissible in salah? Sometimes people do it after reciting a certain verse or making certain dua and sujood. Not that I know of. I don't know of that being something which is done in salah. But I'm wondering what kind of dua or what kind of ayah one recites which makes them smile. The only thing I can think of is a brother smiling after an ayah about Hur al-Ain. And anything other than that, I think it's very unlikely that someone really smile after reciting an ayah. But you know, Allah musta'an. Well, you made me smile. Sayyid. Allah musta'an. What happened? The questions are not coming anymore. Here we go, another essay. As-salamu
alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salamu alaykum. I just wanted to know to what extent do we have to correct mistakes we see. Example, if you see someone putting their forearms on the ground like that of a dog, which the Prophet ﷺ prohibited, it's hard to approach someone you've never met. Are you still obliged to somehow mention it to them? And are we sinful for not fulfilling al-amr ma'roof and al-munkar? You should not worry about anyone at all when it comes to enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. You have to tell this person, because you owe it to yourself, and that Muslim has a right over you, that you love for them what you love for yourself, and that if you see something wrong, you correct it. You don't have to know someone. Trust me, I do it all the time. Alhamdulillah. I'm only saying this to encourage you. I'm only saying this to encourage you, not to show off. I see someone and say, Assalamu alaikum, how's it going, man? I notice that you're a wonderful brother. However, but in sujood, akhi, you were putting your elbows down on the ground, which is not okay. So be careful in the future and avoid it. Khalas! They say, Jazakallah khairan, ya, ma'alesh, I didn't know, barakallah feek. Thank you for mentioning that to me. You know, anytime you see me making a mistake, please, you know, do not deprive me of an advice. Now, of course, you find some weird people every now and then who will say, mind your business, who asked you, I know what I'm doing. But that's not, that. These are just, you know, people with arrogance. You still give them a nasiha and you move on with your way. Don't let anything prevent you from enjoying the good, forbidding the evil, and speaking to the people. Don't be shy. There are rare cases where you worry that there will be a greater evil if you were to speak, in which case you have wisdom, you have enough wisdom to kind of evaluate the situation and kind of avoid saying something. But that is not the usual situation. That is in very rare occasions. Now, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. I do philosophy. Ouch. And in my class there are many atheists, including some ex-Muslims. Whoa. When debating with these people, they often turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, being all merciful, and why is their pain and suffering? I answer by saying, Allah never said He is all loving, as He loves all with equal love, as Allah says He dislikes to reject His signs. Is this a valid response? Yes, it is. And I do recommend, Chief, that you watch my lecture answering Bart Ehrman, Why We Suffer. And watch that lecture of mine available on my YouTube channel, and there I address this whole thing about why people suffer, why is there suffering even though Allah is all merciful. So you will have that answer you gave, along with another good 6 to 7 answers, which should silence all of these atheists in your class, inshallah. When hearing Quran, sometimes I'm doing other things. I don't feel affects my concentration. Is this acceptable? I don't feel it affects my concentration. You can listen to the Quran while doing other things. That's fine. Because the ayah which speaks about وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا, this the ulama say is in salah. This is in speaking during salah. It is not referring to the one outside of salah. Na'am. Can we pray with the adhan of a clock and just make the iqama and pray? Because I'm confused since we can't pray behind an imam from the TV, radio, etc. The adhan clock is simply there to notify you of the entrance of time. If your batteries are old and it's a few minutes off and it calls the adhan before the time of salah, then you may not pray before the time of salah. So don't look at the alarm clock or the adhan clock. Look at the time of salah. When does salah time come? Once the time of salah comes, then you just pray. Whether with adhan or iqama or without adhan and iqama. Whether it is from the masjid or through the clock or without anything. The whole thing revolves about the entrance of time, not the call of adhan. Because the muadhin may die on his way to the masjid and no one calls the adhan, it doesn't mean that people don't pray because the muadhin never made it. What matters is the time in which salah enters. Now. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it permissible to take student grants from a government, non-Muslim government? And what advice should I give my sister that wants to get a student loan and she argues that she has no choice but to take it because she has no one to pay for her and that the interest rate is very low? What advice should I give her? Let her listen to my lecture. However, there's a difference. Let her listen to my lecture. Most recent lecture you find on YouTube. However, there I address this issue, and my advice is that she should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she should not take the student loan. She should not take the student loan at all. Haram, whether there's no such thing as small amount or big amount. Riba is riba. Riba is riba. And it is not allowed. And no, Allah did not oblige her to finish her education in a university. It is not obligatory in the deen that you attend a university. You do whatever you can. My non-Muslim friends want some miracle in life. My non-Muslim friends want some miracle in life. Is that possible? What do you mean? What do you mean by a miracle? Nice. Okay guys, I think we've had enough for the day. Oops, right while I'm saying this a question comes in. Fine. It's common nowadays for people to do tasbih, tahleel, etc. in congregation using the evidence that Allah has people remembering him in congregation. Despite the evidence of the athar of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari regarding the reputation, disapproval of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, of those remembering Allah in circles. What's your advice on this? You already answered it. It's not from the sunnah to do this. It's a bid'ah. And they don't have the right to understand a hadith according to their whims and desires. They have to understand it according to the application of the sahaba. They have to understand it according to the application of the sahaba. If the sahaba didn't apply it this way, then they have no right to understand it that way. Okay guys, I have good news for you. My website, by Allah's grace and mercy, has went through some major reconstruction. It is not done yet. It will get better and better as we go along. But for now, I want you to check it out and visit it again in a few weeks. Continue to visit it possibly as often as you can, as we upload all the lectures, all the Aqeedah classes, all the Tafsir classes. It's going to be, inshallah, something really, really nice. Then you'll be able to really register, really receive updates. I mean, alhamdulillah, we're going through a whole change. MashaAllah, yeah. Some brothers, may Allah reward them, have done all this for the sake of Allah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to reward them with goodness. They do this from their own time, their own money. I'm just nothing but a loser watching the whole thing take place. Nevertheless, it's not ready yet. So you may find some features which are not really, you know, functioning. But, you know, give it a week or two, it will all be, inshallah, yani, officially. And I will give you updates again. But for now, just to give you the good news, maybe you'll be able to benefit from some classes which are available now, which were not available, you know, at the old site. So, barakallahu feekum. Yeah, it looks pretty good, alhamdulillah. We praise Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tayyib. We'll catch you on Friday, inshallah, if all goes well. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala bayna Muhammad, wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.